Let's see. So my name is Stacy, and I guess it's easier to follow things if you name them. So let's name this too. So we are here in this room together. So you can notice that, acknowledge that. And as we spend our time together this morning, keep the effort to come back here. So, when I was in school, I was working on a performance art project, and we just like ran this thing into the ground. So I went to my professor, and I said, "Oh my God, this is stupid." And he said, "Everything is stupid." And gave me a copy of Emerson's Self-Reliance. So I'm going to do something really stupid right now. And I just want to make sure we're on a similar page, because today I'm going to talk a little bit about form and emptiness. Right? So some of us have heard this, contemplated it. I'd bet most of us have experienced it. So I'm going to name it. This is before and beyond, but it's not a matter of space. And it is eternity in this moment. We can't see it. It's unnameable. Runs through everything, but it's not a matter of space. Form we think we're a little bit more familiar with this body, this table. So, what we are learning is that these two do not differ. They are not two. They are co-occurring. And this is the essence of the teacher who founded this lineage of Zen. That form and emptiness are not a contradiction. They happen with. They happen through. So I'll start with a story. And let's see. There once was a woman, and we'll name her Mani. And Mani's mother was very bad. She abused the triple treasures. She was faithless and foolish. And when Mani's mother died, Mani feared that her mother would fall into the realms of hell. So Mani dedicated her life to practice, to making offerings, to devotions, helping to save her mother. And when Mani was injured and near death herself, she found herself in the iron ring. Now, the hells in the old Buddhist scriptures are gruesome. The imagination of gore far surpasses anything my zombie-watching mind has ever seen. The hells are molten, and when you go to ask the hell beings, You say, we don't understand at all. We're hungry, we're thirsty. You're fed a blazing hot copper cannonball that rips through your body and falls through your bowels. And then you're regenerated. So this can happen again and again and again. And there are many torments like that. So Mani found herself here, and she met a ghost king named Poisonless. And he bowed his head in greeting. And Mani said, I've heard that the hells are inside the iron ring. Is that so? And Poisonless answered, yes, the hells are here. And Mani asked, how have I come to the hells? Poisonless answered, either great spiritual strength brought you here, or it was bad karma. These are the only two ways anyone comes here. So we don't know. Was Mani there to save her mother? We don't know. What we are experiencing, is it because we have chosen? Is it because we are strong? Ready? Or is it just what is happening to us? We talk about compassion, and yeah, I only read this in a novel, and I didn't look into the etymology of it too much, but there's this sense in the English translation of compassion that is to suffer with, to help another. And yet when this is translated into German, French, the translation is to feel with. And there's a distinction there, right? In comparison, to suffer with might be easy. To feel joy for someone for whom you may be jealous, this can create a difficulty. Pity, jealousy. Pity might make you feel stronger. But you don't know. We don't know. It's just our experience. Experiencing things together. Not helping. Not doing something to another. It is an alchemy. It changes both of us. We don't know which one has the bold spiritual strength or bad karma. And this alchemy is molten. It's painful. We change each other. Every contact, everything constantly, constantly changing. And through this, then we end up with alloys, right? They're stronger metals because of the mixture. We have bronze from copper and tin, or steel, adamantium. In the old scriptures, they describe the bodhisattvas, the people, they describe people as having an adamantine practice, an adamantine concentration. This metal is the very, very hardest thing, the strongest thing. So in that, let's come back to Dogen, the the form is emptiness. Now, in one of his recorded Dharma discourses, titled Awakening Shines Through All Things, he says, "Already being an iron person with a copper head, why not be the main beam for a magnificent structure? A wish-fulfilling jewel, and either fireflies, fireworks, or the sun do not obstruct each other. At this very time, how is it? Great Assembly, do you want to clearly understand this?" And after a pause, "Loving emptiness and hating existence is not the way. Why would Buddha ancestors want such delusion again? Do not wish to become a god, but simply seek for unsurpassed awakening." So I'll look at a couple of the kind of technical things about this. So the iron person with the copper head, this is iron steadfastness, copper receptiveness, right? In our meditation, you can experience this strong, strong concentration until Dogen calls the falling away of body and mind. And yet here, be the main beam for a magnificent structure. Bring that emptiness into your full body, your full experience. Understand existence through the experience of form. The emptiness runs through us. It is this position. It is here that emptiness manifests. Now, the wish-fulfilling jewel, this is the Mani stone, the jewel in the lotus, and so it is said that through this stone, there's no differentiation between any kind of light. Fireworks, fireflies, the sun. Now, you may like fireflies and not like fireworks so much. You may love the sun for a while, but wait till mid-August. But all of these are glorious. Viewed through our own precious material, there's an image on the front of your programs, and if you're near a program, maybe you can take a look at that. This is a sculpture by Auguste Rodin. It's at the MIA. It's a bronze cast of a stone carving. And I want you to take a look at that. Just notice what you see. Notice the shape of it, the light. Notice what thoughts you might have in the context of what we're talking about. And this piece is called the Cathedral. So what do you see there? C. See the image of hands, human hands in contact. And this says to root in the divine. And here is the divine cast in bronze, solid. And yet, when I am in compassion with the sculpture, we drop into emptiness. And that emptiness is our form in communion. The emptiness becomes the body, becomes the experience. And we find in Taoism and subsequently in traditional Chinese medicine, acupuncture, there's this guidance of the law of five elements. And five elements or phases is cool too, of the moving through of earth, wood, fire, water, and metal. And the metal element is associated with the lungs, with the breath power. And emotionally, with grief, with letting go. And also with courage. And we don't know which is which. In the authentic experience of grief and courage, there's no distinction in the breath, in the mineral, in the metal, the shining stone through which we see all things. So it's Walt Whitman's 195th birthday today. So, am I in compassion with Walt Whitman? Still? He wrote prolifically about the body. The body is the soul. There's pages and pages of just naming body parts. The space between your eyelashes. The space between your eyelashes. And also about the experience of not differentiating between another's suffering and my own, another's joy and my own, the experience of being alive together. And that very experience is the thing, is the nothing, is the emptiness. And we have to commit to just doing it wholeheartedly. And in that, we are emptiness. So here's some words from Walt Whitman. O me, O life, of the questions of these recurring, of the endless trains of the faithless, of cities filled with the foolish, of myself forever reproaching myself. For who more foolish than I, and who more faithless? Of eyes that vainly crave the light, of the objects mean, of the struggle ever renewed, of the poor results of all, of the plodding and the sordid crowds I see around me, of the empty and useless years of the rest, with the rest me intertwined. The question, oh me, so sad, recurring. What good amid these, oh me, oh life? And the answer, that you are here, that life exists and identity, that the powerful play goes on and you may contribute a verse. So in this I hear all of that rattling of life, the pain of the body, the pain of society. And that is the very thing. I am here. That's all. In my part of the story, in my part of the play, when I'm wholly committed to that, I am wholly the whole thing. So I'll just read through it again. Let those words come to us. Oh me, oh life. Of the questions of these recurring, of the endless trains of the faithless, of cities filled with the foolish, of myself forever reproaching myself. For who more foolish than I, and who more faithless? Of the eyes that vainly crave the light, of the objects mean, of the struggle ever renewed, of the poor results of all, of the plodding and sordid crowds I see around me, of the empty and useless years of the rest, with the rest me intertwined. The question, oh me, so sad, recurring, what good amid these, oh me, oh life? That you are here, that life exists, and identity, that the powerful play goes on and you may contribute a verse. And Walt Whitman also left us, I do not ask the wounded person how he feels. I become the wounded person. We can't divide it up. There's no separation of all of us, all of everything. There's no separation in our feeling together. And the emptiness that runs through, the nothing to run through, the form, the solid, the existence. So I think of a magnet. And when I think of a magnet, I think about the little red and silver magnets that I first played with in school. And so this polarity runs through the magnet, right? There's an end that's attracting, an end that's repulsing. So if we look at an end that is emptiness, an end that is form, and we hold this magnet, and we cut the magnet in half, we do not end up with a peace that is emptiness and a peace that is form. You can't split it up. The polarity remains. The form is changed. The form exists. And yet, the activity, the energy, the nothing, the absolute, the emptiness runs through. Try to cut it apart, you just end up with an emptiness and a form. Try to cut it apart again, still there's the emptiness and the form. You cannot take it apart. I'll let that rest there and become more and more jumbled. I think I like simple things, but simple is scary. Jumble it up, jumble it up. So I ask if any of you have any ideas about this or questions. Metal. Yes, Stephanie.
First of all, I do have an idea, but I would like to first thank you for what must have been so much time to compose a presentation like this. Thank you. One gift.
Thanks. And you?
Yeah.
Because, you know, of my, I think, all the things that I read about and that I teach, yes, I did have an idea, especially the magnet case directed me to it, and that is the duality of energy and matter, which I can try to resist what the universe is made of. And I also teach them that before matter emerged, there was only energy, which would have been the emptiness, which then would have meant that emptiness might have been itself and form.
Mm-hmm.
And so on and so forth. I don't want to overstretch that.
Yeah. And I like reading pop physics, and and so my little vibration gets in the vibration of string theory. We start to hear this thing that it's all just this emptiness, all vibration, and that there's no difference really. That force becomes a piece of matter, so there's no difference between like my leg and gravity. They're just like different little strings of the whole thing. Yes, Mark.
When you mentioned adamantium, I immediately thought of Wolverine from X-Men.
Mm-hmm.
thinking that. Delvin verse about my most natural powers is just to carry water draw water and carry firewood. And it's so true that this practice, this strong practice, just makes us ordinary. That's all it does. It just makes us ordinary. And being that ordinary is what I love it when you talked about how that's the emptiness. The ordinary is the emptiness that makes us to be able to sort of experience this greater life. And
oh, the great Bodhisattva
Wolverine.
Thanks. really experience that. So if there's nothing on the tip of anyone's tongue, then we'll close here. I invite you to join together in continuing this conversation. You know, what are these questions? They're not rhetorical. You know? At this very time, how is it? Dogen asks, at this very time, how is it? I heard a mythical story that Thich Nhat Hanh was experienced his first enlightenment experience while eating a cookie. Right? And that became the whole of everything. At this very moment, how is it? And also, what good are these? Oh me, oh life, really, really, what good are these?